Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Rosecast, the number one Bachelor Recap podcast hosted by a male and racial best friend duo. AB, how's it going? How was Father's Day?
You know what, Ram? It was really good.
Yeah?
Really good, yeah.
What? You said that like I would be surprised.
No, it was good.
All right,
Got to sleep in. Kids got me donuts and coffee to wake up in bed. Got to hang out with the family. It was good. It was good. Sleeping in was great.
What's sleeping in for you?
Eight. Slept till eight, like a baby.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow, what a good Father's Day.
Yeah,
all right, good. Start this off on the good foot. AB, we got a situation here.
All right.
With this show that they're showing that you came up with the idea with.
My idea.
That they have since ruined. I'll go so far as to say they ruined it. This was... if I were you, I would disavow yourself from this, what they're doing. The first issue is that no one is watching this. The ratings are lower for this than they were, just slightly, than Listen to Your Heart. Lower.
They're lower.
Than Listen to Your Heart. Okay.
What does lower mean, though? Is it still winning
Fewer
the time
people.
Slot?
No, no. It lost to the Titan Games on NBC.
Okay, well, see, I flipped over to that, and it looked pretty good. So you can't really blame them for that. That's The Rock, future president.
There was, I think Joe Thomas was a competitor, Hall of Fame O-lineman for the Browns, recently retired.
That's good.
That seems like a good show.
That seems like a
right
good show.
Alley. Yeah.
Yeah.
The second part, the second issue, I was kind of bored watching this.
Well, here's the problem, Rim. Let me jump in here. We've already done this.
Season.
We reviewed this season, so we've done, I don't know, 25 hours of content.
I rewatched it.
Podcast content, including at that point, I mean, when we were just starting out podcasting, I'd watched those things two or three times. So I've seen all the episodes. You know, we're talking hundreds of hours of Ben content.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I was bored as well.
But I don't think it's just that. That certainly factors into it. Number one, well, side note, we were having a big fantasy baseball kerfuffle, which distracted me for most of the episode. I got to be honest. There were segments that I didn't see the first time around because I was yelling at people. The other thing is, it was just all over the place. The best possible way to present this is to take the season and put it into a three-hour movie. A movie does not have Zoom stuff or Chris bumpers or segments dedicated to bit characters. Just give us the core storylines.
The story.
We had so much Zoom last night.
Too much Zoom.
And what do you think happens? The hardcore fans are going to watch that because they're interested in what's going on with Olivia, Lace, whoever. But like general audience is like, I don't need to watch.
I'm not going to watch Lace.
I don't need to watch
a
Lace
bit
Zoom.
Character.
Bit.
I'm not watching that. Yeah, I'm with you. It's only the hardcore fans that would enjoy this show. New people get no sense of what the season was like.
Nothing.
It's unfortunate that they did
this.
And
they're doing seasons that are too recent, in my opinion. Too recent.
I'm with you. They're going to JoJo next. We just got done with JoJo. I swear we just got done with that.
They need to make some big changes. Hope you're listening. Get the editors back in the editing room. Okay. Let's talk about the episode, though, because that's a gerb. Ben Higgins' season. I will say I did rewatch the season. That was a very good thing for last episode with Caitlin's, because a lot of stuff was misrepresented and spin zoned. There's none of that here. They weren't hiding anything.
There's nothing to hide. Ben's a wholesome guy. I was interested to get to this episode because we hold Ben on such a high pedestal. I was looking to see. We've been doing this for years too. It's been Ben Higgins at the top, tippy top of our list of Bachelor people. Was his season actually that good, or was it just me and Rim's first season? So it's got some nostalgia there.
Yeah.
You always like your first, you know.
Yeah, the first love.
Yeah, your first love. Yeah, that was our first love. It's Ben Higgins. So was he really that good of a Bachelor is the question that I had coming into this episode.
And what's the answer? What'd you think?
Yeah, he was. I think he was the most, him and Sean have been the most genuine Bachelors that we've, since I've started watching at least.
I am with you. For perspective, this was the first season that I watched ever. And I went into it with the attitude that this is ridiculous and a joke and I'm going to hate this show. And by the end of it, I liked it. And that a lot of that has to do with Ben and some of the women on his season. So he has a special place in my heart for that reason. But looking back on it, the only thing I will say that was a little different than what I remember is he was very much a politician, which, as we know now, was his original goal. He gave everyone a shot. He was fair to everyone, but he was like constantly saying kind of what everyone wanted to hear instead of maybe his true feelings. That's a minor grievance, I'll say.
I forgot that politician stuff. Whatever happened with that?
I think he couldn't run because he was still under contract with ABC. So he had to give up his dreams of being a politician.
I wonder how long these contracts last.
I don't know. He might be a lifer. I think he's a lifer at this point. Anyway, let's go to night one. Let me jog your memories. Some of the names from this season. Amanda Stanton.
Big names.
Jubilee Sharp.
Whoa.
Lauren B. Kayla. Olivia. The twins.
These are big names.
JoJo Fletcher, future Bachelorette. And Jennifer Saviano, who didn't get basically any screen time, but has become kind of a name in the nation on social media. The first thing I want to do is look back at what we thought of those contestants at the time. It's been 4 years. I think, in my case at least, might have been a little hard. I remember not liking Lauren B. that much. I thought she had less juice than JoJo.
We're going to have to check the tapes, Rim. Do you think me and you are bigger JoJo fans
I'm not checking the tapes. I'm not listening to old episodes. I'm not going to do it. Okay.
But maybe someone will do it for us.
They're not on this feed, so who knows? But what were you going to say? Go ahead.
I remember it the opposite way. I remember us being Lauren fans more than JoJo fans.
Who knows?
But it also might have just been maybe we thought Lauren was going to win. Maybe I'm thinking that we just knew Lauren was going to win.
I remember the opposite.
Were we excited when JoJo was Bachelorette?
I think so.
Okay. This is just two old guys.
This is old guys who don't remember.
This is like the presidential debates are going to be. Just two old guys misremembering stuff.
No idea.
Let's move on. We have no idea what we're talking about.
This is on the record and we still don't remember it. The twins, not nearly as annoying as I remember. I quite enjoyed the twins whenever we watched the season.
I always enjoyed the twins. I watched them. People forget Lauren and Ben had a show, and then the twins had a show.
They had a whole
standalone show that I watched, okay? And it was pretty good. Pretty good reality television, okay?
I don't remember that. You watching the twins show is unbelievable. Kayla, the next segment. So we're glad to see them again. The next segment after night one was the Kayla segment with Kevin Hart and Ice Cube. Just wanted to note that was fun because this was the entire segment. That was it. Ice Cube and Kevin Hart.
Didn't remember this.
How did you not remember this? You remember because you thought Kevin Hart was actually naked in the hot tub when he popped out, and he obviously was not.
Oh, yeah. Like, this was for the movie Ride Along. It was a good segment.
Great cross promo.
Yeah, that's
the
ride
along date with these two.
They're
it's
tagging
funny.
Along on the date. It's
that's
funny.
Great cross promo. Jubilee. What do you remember about Jubilee?
I remember liking Jubilee, but then did something happen in Paradise with her where we did not like her anymore?
Ooh, I don't remember. I'll say this about Jubilee. She had a tough time adapting to this situation, and I don't think the other cast members were very helpful in that regard. She was kind of an outsider, didn't get along with everybody else. For one episode, she was basically the villain because she wasn't grateful enough to be going on a date with Ben.
Oh, I remember
a lot
that,
of jealousy
yeah.
there. But yeah, the Jubilee segment was interesting. They didn't really resolve it. She ended up leaving on a group. Ben sent her home like on the nighttime portion of her group date, not even a rose ceremony.
Isn't this part of why people are demanding Rachel Lindsay and people and us are demanding more people of color on this show, is so the people of color that are the token people of color aren't so, you know, on their own.
Yeah.
In a sense, there's nobody that looks like them there. It's just it's an uncomfortable feeling that I don't think a lot of people understand how uncomfortable it is when you walk in a room and you're the only one of that race. Like, it's understandable why she was on edge that entire season. There's no one else, or there's a couple.
Yeah. On top of that, she was in the military originally mm-hmm. from Haiti, you know, was in an orphanage when she was 6 years old. Just a totally different
yeah.
background and, you know, experience in adult social situations. There was one moment, I think it was Lauren H, and this wasn't on last night, but on the show, where she said, questioning whether or not Jubilee would be a match for Ben, she said something along the lines of, like, Ben wants someone who's going to get along with all the other soccer moms. Which is, like, read into that what you will, but it was just kind of like
yeah.
Total outsider status for Jubilee. Unfortunately, Instagram is private. Came and check up on her. Hope she's doing well. Lace segment. People forget, AB, Ben didn't kiss anybody on night one, except for Lace, who did it when his eyes were closed. What did you make of this segment, and what do you remember about Lace?
I remember actually being okay with Lace. I almost took her as she was kidding about most of the stuff. I didn't, like, they played her off as this stalker and yeah. That type of vibe. I think she was mostly having fun with the whole situation. That's how I took it as, at least.
There were most of her interactions with Ben were apologizing for their previous interaction. That was most of the time she talked to Ben. She had to say, I'm sorry for last night, basically. They did have a Zoom call with Lace from Denver, which, you know, fine, she's doing well, proud of who she's become, etc. This was the first of several, hey, let's check in on these people who we kind of traumatized by setting them up for embarrassment and exposure to the world and see if they survive the transition into the real world Zoom calls.
Let's see if at 5 years later, if their life has at least turned to some,
yeah.
in some way back to normal.
Did everything spiral out of control when we made you look like a lunatic on television? Yeah. Is that okay? Anything else on Lace, AB?
No.
You want to talk about Olivia for a while?
Not really, but sure.
Well, she was the featured player on this episode of The Bachelor Goat.
Yeah, I agree.
She got the first impression, Rose. Confidence just through the roof, wasn't threatened at all by anyone else. Big time interrupter. Big time stealer.
Huge stealer, Rim.
What do you remember about the great two-on-one date they showed on that deserted island in the Bahamas during
the ending,
a storm?
One of the best moments in Bachelor history, after Ben has sent Olivia home because he does not share feelings, the same feelings. Was it? Who was it with? Who was
Emily.
The other person?
Emily.
Oh, one of the twins?
Yes.
Okay, that's yeah. what I was thinking, but I couldn't remember because the twins also went on a two-on-one
yeah.
themselves, right?
Yes.
That's what threw me off. I couldn't remember who was with Olivia because I know Emily and Haley had a two-on-one.
Emily and Haley had a two-on-one at their home in Las Vegas, and then yeah. Ben left one of them there.
Yeah.
And broke
I
up
remember
with her
that.
In front of their mom. It was weird. Weird, but anyway, go on about this amazing
yeah, so
date.
Olivia and Emily go on a two-on-one. Olivia tells him that she loves him. Ben does not have the same feelings for her. Nope. The whole house had turned on her at that point, and I assume, had talked behind her back to Ben? Was there some of that going on?
I believe so. A little bit of like, you know,
she's not acting the same way in front of you as she is with us, that type of stuff.
There was allusions to that. I don't know if she was named by name, but yes.
Okay. Well, anyways, Ben lets her down, lets her know that he does not share the same feelings and she's going to be going home. Him and Emily hop on a boat, take off. Speed off into the sunset. And then Olivia's left there, not a person for miles. There's like mist all over the place. The waves are crashing into the rock spire.
It's a scary situation.
It's raining. She's there. There's nobody for so many miles.
She's stranded.
They're catching her on a camera from like a helicopter. That's where the camera is. That's videotaping her.
It was beautiful. One of the funniest.
Iconic scenes.
Many people mentioned, we posted this clip. Many people mentioned a couple others. Allie, whose season I have not seen, left Casey alone on a glacier. And the time Chris got in a helicopter and deserted both Ashley and Kelsey in the Badlands. Those sound like very similar situations that I need to see.
Mm-hmm.
But this, for me, is the all-time memorable two-on-one. Anything else on the Olivia? She didn't make it as far as you would think. I think she finished, you know, eighth or ninth.
Yeah, she's one that I didn't like in the moment, but I've kind of followed her on social media and stuff, and she seems, I'm under the opinion she got a terrible edit.
I think
some of the clips of her like laughing and stuff like that, and the gif-able stuff that made her look bad, it all played into this character they wanted to build up, and I don't think that's really
it's
her.
Kinda like
I think she alluded to
handle.
That.
Yeah. They lingered on her faces.
Yeah,
during
the
like the interviews,
she'd make.
They would just like let it sit for a while, and then she looks like, "What is this person doing?" But if they had cut it a second prior,
would have been fine.
Totally different situation. That leads us into, listen, a good segment, a fine segment, a net positive segment, but strange and frankly, kind of, I thought, out of place. A 10-minute in the heart of this episode. Chris talked to Olivia for 10, maybe 12 minutes over Zoom.
And
this is not.
And I like
Olivia.
I didn't need to see all this. It was way too long.
It was so long. I have more notes on this segment than anything else. And it's a Zoom with Olivia. It's just, this is just not what I envisioned when AB came up with this brilliant idea to do the 3-hour recap shows. It's just, I mean, what do you think casual viewers are doing during the segment? They're turning the channel.
They have no idea who she is.
Anyway,
I mean, it was interesting just to dig into what she was brought on for a little bit more. She's kind of like the dark side of reality TV and this in Bachelor in general, and what it can do to your life. Like, it can ruin your life. I feel like her life was ruined for like a year.
Yeah.
Like, she's out of that now. She has a popular podcast. She's, you know, starting to come back into the Bachelor family or whatever. But I'm guaranteeing she was very embarrassed about how she was shown on television and had to stay in like hiding because everyone would recognize her as the crazy girl on The Bachelor.
I've never listened to her podcast, but it's a very interesting concept to interview the people whose reputations take hits from this crazy reality TV world. Now, at this point, anyone who goes on, I think, should probably be more understanding of what they're getting into than maybe the old days. But it's interesting. I mean, I looked down the list of like guests she has. It's like, oh yeah, these are people who probably would like to say their piece a little bit. First side note, I think these Zoom calls, I think Chris is reenacting the conversations from his desk. I don't think they're taking place. You know, I think the video, I'll put it this way. I think they did a Zoom call.
Those aren't the Zoom calls. I agree.
Okay. You know what I'm saying by that?
Chris is not talking to her in that moment.
No.
No.
Because the timing is off. A lot of times they'll start answering a question before he's finished saying it. There's no camera visible. He's not looking at them. And the video is like superimposed on the TV. So Chris is pretending to talk to them when they're just stay woke on that. Anyway, back to the call. Olivia says she couldn't watch the second episode of the season. She watched the first, couldn't watch the second.
Wow.
She said, quote, seeing what some of the other women on the show were saying, I'm sure some of it was deserved, but some of it was ruthless. It was just making fun of me for some of my physical attributes I can't change. Presumably the gifts of her mouth, her wide open mouth. Mm-hmm. Chris says, sounds like you went to a pretty dark place.
Again, sounds like we kind of ruined your life.
Yeah, sounds wow, crazy. You can't believe it. Phil, it was just like, dude, you had a part in this.
A big part in this. You're the head. You're the face of the franchise.
It's just crazy.
Okay, I mean, Chris, this is half your fault. I'd give you one half of the fault for anything any of these people face.
The other thing is, if she was on the show right now, do you think they would like do, if they It'd could do the it over again? Same. Do you think they would do it over? Do it It'd differently? Be
the exact
of course
same.
Not.
They haven't changed at all in that sense. They're gonna bully the person they want to bully and turn into and you know twist the story. However, which hey, I'm not even necessarily blaming them. But when you bring them on and you act like you feel bad for them for something you did and you would do again, I just can't buy that. Like, listen, this is reality TV. Reality TV has been on for so long. If you're signing up for reality TV, you have to understand you might be shown in a horrible light and there's nothing you can do about it. That's just something, if I went on a reality TV show, I couldn't come out of it angry about how I was shown. Because that's just how it is on reality TV, and that's something you're signing up for.
You know, I've no doubt that Olivia went through all this, and I understand her being upset with some of the other people on the show and obviously random people on the internet. I'm sure we weren't super kind to her. Luckily, no one listened to us then. The show obviously deserves a lot of blame, too. For example, if I forget the names, but someone would say something mean about Olivia to the camera. That wasn't unprompted. Who do you think asked them about?
The producers asked them a question about Olivia. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't remember Olivia being that controversial. Since then, we have had way more evil people on the show.
Yeah.
Lincoln, Lee, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Absolutely.
Kayla breakup segment. Context, she surprised Ben on an off day after he told JoJo and Lauren that he loved them independently. What do you make of this segment?
I remember being a big Kayla guy. Do you remember the same thing?
Yes.
Okay. Did she go in Paradise?
Yes. She was in the running to be... She was the runner-up to be the next Bachelorette.
With JoJo? JoJo. Okay. Yeah. I remember... That might be why I remember not liking JoJo as much, is because I wanted Kayla to be the Bachelorette. Yeah. I was a big fan of her. That's all I remember. It's good to see her doing well. She's engaged, has brought her husband out, which is always weird when Chris... Welcome to the Bachelor family. It's like...
You're not in the family.
First of all, he's not in the family.
There's too many people in this family as it is. We don't need we don't need in-laws in the Bachelor family.
Random in-law here. The guy's not in the family.
Her fiance, a.k.a. Beefy Grocer Joe. Did you notice that he was just like a swole Grocer Joe? What's going on? But yeah, good to see Kayla. You know, again, just another segment that I didn't think was...
Not necessary.
Necessary. It was only maybe 4 minutes, but still. Then, speaking of completely unnecessary segments, we get an update on Dean and Kaylin. Two people have nothing to do with this. Nothing to do. What did you make of this? Their secret marriage, quote.
Are they married? I'm still confused if they're legally married or not. It's a yes or no question, Dean. And Chris asked him, are you two married? And he did not provide an answer.
I get the feeling Dean, like, doesn't file tax returns or something to where, like, he's not an official or something that he can't say. I don't know what's
married,
going on.
Yes or no? Yeah. Legally, are you married? Could you put each other on each other's tax forms as married? Can you file them jointly? What's the situation?
I don't know. He gave the longest, most meandering.
All I wanted was a yes or no. Once you were on, which I didn't want you on to begin with, but once you were on, I needed to know if you are married or not, and I didn't come away with an answer.
Kaylin said Dean didn't want to, quote, get the government involved in their relationship. So it's just like, right. I like where Dean's at. Right, I actually like this vibe Dean's giving off.
Dean has been, Dean's what? Van vibe.
It's an, he's an enigma.
Really works. It really works. He's mysterious. You want to talk about mysterious, Rip? It's Dean in the van.
Not wanting to get the government involved is the funniest thing I can think of. Let's take a quick break.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Time for Lauren B. Lauren B and JoJo, first time we're seeing them on the show, almost, you know, probably 2 hours into it, after a lot of unrelated news.
The two stars of the show.
Yeah. She told, Lauren B told Ben she loved him on their overnight date. Ben reciprocates, okay, which seemed genuine and took her by surprise. I think it should have been obvious then. Now, I watched this operating under the assumption that we thought JoJo was going to win.
No, we didn't.
I swear to God.
I remember being excited. You're 100% wrong. I'm positive about this fact, Rim.
Okay.
Here's what I remember us talking about in the moment.
I know what you're going to say, and I remember it also.
Okay?
Yeah.
When he told Lauren he loved her, she was the first one. Yep. Also, this is how I know what you just said was wrong. She was the first one that told him, I love you, and he said it back. We said the producers then forced him, because let me explain a couple things here, Rim, about the situation. Let me break this down. Number one,
for who?
Ben
Not me.
Saying everyone. No, just everyone. Okay. You included. Ben, Ben telling Lauren, I love you, to begin with, broke all the rules of The Bachelor and was something we hadn't seen before. So him saying that, I remember telling you how big of a deal this is. Yeah. Later, when he says it to JoJo, I remember both of us agreeing that the producers made him say it to JoJo so the finale wasn't ruined, because he'd already said I love you to Lauren.
Absolutely.
That's what happened. We thought Lauren was going to win. We thought he loved her, didn't love JoJo. Producers made him say it to JoJo so the finale wasn't ruined.
I remember that. I agree with everything you're saying. It made perfect sense at the time, because we even saw The look on not JoJo's face, but his face when he told JoJo, I love you, was like to his head.
It was huge difference, because when he said it to Lauren, it just popped out like he couldn't help himself. That was Ben, the cute Ben moment where he couldn't possibly hold it in that he loved Lauren. But then when it was JoJo, it was a different vibe there.
She was going on and on. We're just skipping ahead now. JoJo, they're on the waterfall, and she's going on and on. She's like, I do love you, you know? She's trying to, like, talk herself into loving Ben. And he goes, JoJo, I love you too. And she's like,
what?
Great reaction from JoJo. She goes, she, like, hides her face. She goes, are you allowed to say that type of thing? And he goes, yeah, I do. It was just like, it didn't seem real.
Yeah.
But that feeling honeymoon didn't last long, AB, because on their last night together, Ben admits to JoJo that he's also in love with Lauren. Now, he did not admit to Lauren that he's also in love with JoJo. Do you see what I'm... You know what I mean? Am I right so far?
He didn't tell Lauren that he loved JoJo.
Yeah.
Because he didn't love JoJo.
Well, that's... Our opinion. That's our opinion. Do you think he didn't? I mean, he's very adamant that he did.
No.
He's very adamant, even now in interviews.
No.
It's hard to believe.
Maybe he did. Here's what made me finally think, because all this time I thought that he did not love JoJo. He said it because the producers forced him. JoJo, when she came on and talked to Chris, talked about how sure she was that they were getting engaged that day. And she said something about how Ben told her that she was his best friend. That made me think maybe he did have those feelings for JoJo.
I think all we know is they weren't going to let him not say it to her. Also,
no.
Once he said it to one, you had to say it to two. Too many dollars on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on that? Or you want to go to the proposal?
It was good to see Lauren. You forget how much of a sweetheart she was, and JoJo. People forget we liked Lauren. Ben and Lauren were adorable together, and it's unfortunate that in their divorce, we had to side with Ben. And we couldn't keep up with Lauren anymore.
Ben? I'm not on either of their sides.
It's like divorced families' kids. Who's your favorite?
Is that how it works?
That's how it works, Rim. We chose our favorite. Do you know as much about Lauren as you do with Ben? Because I watched Lauren and Ben TV show. I was big fans of both of theirs. Now I couldn't tell you anything about her. I think she might be engaged or married.
She's married to the country star Chris Lane. Because they were on Listen to Your Heart.
That's right.
They weren't listening to your heart.
You're right. That's right. I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. Here, let's talk about the proposal. Here's where all my notes just collapse like a house of cards. You already flipped it on me. I remember being surprised that JoJo, someone could go back and listen to the episodes and find out us saying the opposite of what I'm saying right now. I remember being surprised that JoJo walked out first and he didn't propose. I think Ben was more upset than she was, frankly, when he had to reveal that he was in love with Lauren more, I guess.
Well, I think JoJo, when he told her he loved her, in the moment when she's like, can you say that? I think she thought, okay, I got this wrapped up. He just told me I love you. But then when he told her, I also said that to Lauren, that put her back on her heels, put the guards up a little bit. So I don't think it shocked her as much as it would have if he hadn't have told her that.
Yes.
I think by telling her that, she started to, you know, think it's possible that he's not going to choose me here.
Expect the worst. Hope for the best. Expect the worst. Yeah. What'd you make of the JoJo Zoom? A lot of big news broke in there. Not really.
No.
She's just doing well.
What do you mean? There's no news.
They're all doing well.
I was surprised Jordan wasn't on there, I suppose. That's about...
Yeah.
But I'm guessing he'll be on next week.
Yeah, I think they wanted to keep her time short. She said that Jordan didn't watch her season at all.
I don't buy that when people say that. I really don't.
Yeah,
I find that extremely hard to believe. Because
if you go on a TV show, you're going to watch it.
Here's the problem. I feel like way too many people say that. It's kind of the thing that everyone says to be cool now. Like 75% of people always say, yeah, I haven't watched an episode of this show. You didn't watch an episode of the show that you put your heart and soul into just to see how your edit is? Like, it's a life-changing
They don't want to seem vain. By saying you watch it, you could come up, someone could say, oh, you're so vain. Well, it's like, they went on the TV show in the first place. There's a little bit of ego there, I'm sure.
I just don't buy it. Never have, never will.
Yeah. Anyway, Ben proposes to Lauren. Beautiful moment. I'm glad they showed it. I expected them not to. After Caitlyn's season last week. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, I wish they still were together. They're a likable couple. It would be nice if the Bachelor had another thing to hang their hat on. You did not watch the Ben Zoom because I told you not to. We were running out of time. You go, do I need to watch Ben Zoom? I said, no, you don't. here's the summary. He said it was hard for him and Lauren after their show and the love kind of faded. They did that reality show and then he introduced his fiance. That was really it. Any other notes on this episode before I give you my rewatch season notes?
I'm just interested to hear from you after watching it on where you rank this season still.
It stinks because, you know, if you want to put the season in a vacuum, I thought it was a great season. Ben and Lauren not being together takes a shine off it a little bit for me. I think it's probably, it just takes me back to the old days of when we watched it, when the show was more kind of wholesome and about the love than about the drama, the fake nonsense going on. So I think it's probably, days. I think it's really the old, it's like a different time this season and Sean's season. I put it probably right behind Sean's in terms of Bachelor only.
Okay.
It's fun. I like Ben. He's good. Good Bachelor.
I like Ben. Agreed.
Here are my notes from the season. Here were their destinations. Las Vegas, Mexico City, which was very cool, the Bahamas, and Jamaica.
They went somewhere in America too, right? Did they go to Boston?
No, they did the hometowns.
Where was that, Chicago?
They went to Chicago from Warsaw, Indiana for JoJo's date when they went to his hometown before the actual hometowns.
Okay, gotcha. But there was the reason I asked that, they had that awesome baseball date. Was that at Wrigley?
Oh, was that not a great date? Yes, it was at Wrigley. They got straight out of Rookie of the Year with who was it? What happened in Rookie of the Year where his agent was putting the moves on the kid's mom, Miss Rowan Gardner? Was that his agent who was doing that? Or was that somebody in the front office or something? Or maybe his stepdad was the agent and he was kind of a scuzz, so they had to break it off, and then she fell in love with, I think, somebody from the front office or something. I've got to rewatch that. Anyway, yes, that was a great day.
Riven AB's memories are failing them today.
I know, it's not good. What am I supposed to remember all the details from Rookie of the Year? Come on. And watch that show in 20 years.
We don't remember a thing about our past episodes of the Rosecast. We don't remember anything about Ben's season. We don't remember anything about Rookie of the Year.
We have done over 300 episodes.
That's true.
Podcasts. Yes.
Wow.
That's a lot of time and a lot of takes.
Holy cow. All right. Yeah. You it's can't. When you're firing off hot takes, you can't remember them all.
Well, I can't. There's just no way. Great group dates on this season. There was a school date with quizzes and games and such. At one point, they had to identify where Indiana was. JoJo and Becca Tilly. Becca was on this season. Becca Tilly, also a big name. They didn't show her at all last night. A soccer date with Alex Morgan and Kelly O'Hara from Team USA. That was a great date.
That's awesome.
Emily the Twin was unreal in the gold. Oh, it was, they had that date at the LA Coliseum, side of the Olympics. Amazing date. Also in Mexico City, they went and learned Spanish, then shopped for ingredients, and then had like a Top Chef competition cooking for these
awesome.
Chefs. It was awesome. Not so great. There was a group date where three people, where Amanda got the rose, which meant she continued on to the nighttime portion, which, talk about cross promo, took place at McDonald's. The nighttime portion of a date was at McDonald's.
What?
I'm not kidding. They worked behind the counter for a while. They were handing out stuff to people at the drive-thru, and then they ate dinner at the McDonald's. All-time funny brand crossover.
Okay.
The most adorable date of the season, AB, Ben and Lauren at the youth center where he used to work. Ben, great with kids. One of the kids was drilling half-court shots. He made like four, just launching half-court shots. Also, Paul George and George Hill showed up along with our guy, Frank Vogel.
That is
at the finale, they teased Ben getting married live on After the Final Rose. Both families were there. His pastor from Indiana was there. Neil Lane was there.
And then what happened?
Ben was like, no.
At the end, not getting married.
Chris was like, you want to get married here? And Ben was like, I mean, no, that's not a chance. Lastly, they went to Ben's hometown before the contestant hometowns. Which leads me to a proposal I have. I want you to listen up, AB.
I'm listening.
I think a more effective and a more entertaining way to do this franchise is to invert the final third of the season. You have the lead's hometown with four people left. The final four meet the lead's family. The family weighs in. There's not that much pressure because there's four left. Then you have three overnight dates, okay, which there are right now. But you have three, but it's prior to contestant hometown, so it's getting serious before then.
No, let me stop you right there, Rem.
Nope.
You need four. The more hometowns you get, the better. Hometowns is the content that we most enjoy. You don't want to have less families. That means less chance of a of worse people there. You know, the less uncles and less sisters there that are going to make it hard on the lead.
It's so unrealistic, though. Colton asked for four blessings.
Yes, I agree.
That's ridiculous.
They shouldn't ask for the blessings.
But that's the only time they're going to see him.
You had me until you cut down the hometown day. You had me until there. You can't cut those down. If anything, I want it to be six hometowns.
Okay, sick. Listen, this is a good idea. I thought you would be all on board with this. Here's the last
two hometowns. No.
Cherry on top.
No.
Spend more time with the hometowns. More time. They're too short. More time. That's how you do it.
No, the less time, the better. That still gets better stuff out of them. They need to fit in all their questions and their criticisms in a shorter amount of time. Can't cut a second of this hometown.
This is a great idea. This is a great idea by me. Lastly, this just needs to happen, period. This is kind of separate. The proposal and the breakup have to occur on separate days. They have to. For the mental health of the lead, they need to occur on separate days. They're occurring one right after another. The lead is never in the right shape to ask someone to marry them, or in the case of the Bachelorette, the contestants. You know what I mean? Like multiple guys.
They're breaking up with their second most serious relationship they've ever had. Usually,
yes.
And then
it was a mess when he had to ask Lauren to marry him. It was a mess.
Of course, he was.
Split him up. Let them sleep on it. Let them wake up on the day they're going to ask someone to marry them.
Yeah, make it
totally focused on that.
Yeah, I hear you.
Put the full energy into the moment. Rather, they're so distracted. Anything else, AB? Great ideas.
Yeah, all of them except the hometowns. I'm on board.
Well, that's the whole the other the domino. The other dominoes have to be set up. That's the whole point of the thing.
I think you could still move it, and maybe you just don't have a rose ceremony. So they all meet Ben's parents. Then they do a hometown. You get the.
You gotta cut it down.
You can't cut down from four hometowns. That can't be done.
The overnight dates need to be before the hometowns because.
No, see.
The leads are asking for blessings before they've spent a night together.
They haven't figured out, is what I've just realized. Oh, yeah, they got it figured out. You can't do any of the stuff you're asking.
I think this is brilliant. I do. Anyway. Well, they only listen to you anyway, so if you put this kibosh on it, it's simply not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's over, AP. I feel like I just got shut down by my boss. All right, let's quickly go to the mailbag, which was all over the place this week because we didn't really ask that many questions. 773-234-7794. One question was, what did you think of Ben's recap episode? One question was, what did you think of the Matt James announcement? And then we had a couple that were kind of unrelated. So Jen from DC, I'm happy there will be a Black Bachelor. I'm not feeling the timing at all because all it underscores is that they could have chosen to do this at any time in the last 19 years since they literally did this in one day. They were sued. It's been a running joke for years. And they had Lee and Garrett on. They passed over Mike, who had universal requests. Thanks, Jen. 301 area code. I'm texting to respectfully disagree with Rim.
Ooh.
I'm watching Caitlin's season for the first time, and despite knowing the top four, the winner, and drama with Nick, I'm still very interested in this season. AB should definitely check it out. I've had some time to think about that. That's a good season. I just was okay. Just totally just drained, I think. It's a good it's good.
Okay. We'll see. I might watch it.
You're not going to watch HBO Max, AB. Andrew from Kentucky. I loved Ben's season recap. The whole cast was great this season. That's true. Not only was Ben good, but his cast was good. I actually liked the video interviews, taking as much space as the actual recap. So the opposite of what you and I think, I believe. Thank you, Andrew. 630 area code.
I don't think I'm as anti-interview as you.
Probably not.
I'm okay with the time spent. I just wish the show in general somehow got the story, like you said, the story of what happened during the season better. And maybe they need to cut some of the interviews for that. But if they can get it across, something needs to be different about Because still, you don't get a real grasp or any sort of where stuff is occurring.
Yes.
There's no timeline. That's all broken up. It's like the Jordan doc. Some people were complaining about the Jordan doc because it kept hopping back and forth. That's what they do in this. You go from one storyline, then you hop back and start someone else's storyline from the start. It's all over the place.
To not introduce Lauren B and JoJo until an hour and 50 minutes into the 3-hour episode is just
absurd.
It puts the rest of it makes the previous 2 hours seem like you're wasting our time almost because that was the story. Anyway. 630 area code. Has there been a more stunning proposal site for the Bachelor or Bachelorette? They arrived in a helicopter, walked through a tropical garden, and stayed by a rushing river?
Wow.
Poor Hannah B's proposal was in a junkyard of broken clay pots from a dude carrying a guitar he never used. That's a good point. Not all proposal sites are equal. This one was gorgeous. Of course, the river was formed partially by Ben's tears after breaking up with JoJo and then having to propose. It was just a whole situation. Thank you, 630. This is Ellie from Atlanta. She's got multiple thoughts on this. Olivia was pretty bratty and tone deaf during her time on the show, but got way more hate and vitriol than people like Garrett. She's owned up to her mistakes, and it's amazing that this show finally gave her the redemption arc she deserved. Not show-related, but on social media, 2020 Ben Higgins is the best. He's been so, quote, politician in prior years, and it's great to see him now take a better stand on important issues. P.S. My dad is from Des Moines, and his family was all based in Osceola. We used to visit when I was a kid, and there was a river you could drive your car through.
What are you talking about?
Not over, through. I've Googled it a bunch of times, and I can't figure out where this place was. Do either of you know? A.B., does that just sound like the most, and that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. There's no way that's real.
Remember when Mike Scott drove his car into the, the lake?
The GPS put him right into the lake.
You can't drive across a river. Sorry.
No, there's no.
This place doesn't exist. You're imagining some sort of
Flood. She drove through in the 93 flood, and that
some
was...
memory in your head from your childhood is sticking out. It was a good memory, but I don't think that ever happened. How deep would what river is that deep where you could drive through it? It'd have to be inches of water, right? Inches.
Yeah. I always got some weird small quirks like
big
that.
Big frying pan? Is that the thing?
The big frying pan, etc. I can't imagine there's this river that you drive through. I just can't imagine that.
But if you find out, let me know. You gotta tell us.
You got it. That would be a hilarious thing.
I would love to drive through that.
If it's real, I feel like it's an Instagram destination. That's a hilarious thing to... We're going to drive through. There's just no way. There's just no way. Maybe, but I don't believe it. Thank you, Ellie, for your text. Lastly, AB, several people are in on book club. A lot of people are itching for this book club.
You don't have to tell me twice.
I don't know what to do, though, because do we really want to sell a bunch of books for Chris Harrison? We're already giving the show production ideas that they make millions of dollars off of. I don't know what...
Is there a way really, we can find it for free somewhere?
I also don't want to be illegal about it. I thought libraries. There's no way that the perfect letter by Chris Harrison is in public libraries. I don't know. Maybe. Originally, I thought we could just do a reading of it. I think that would be hilarious if I just read it to you and you reacted to it.
You should do the audiobook.
I can't. That's illegal. That's obviously super illegal.
No, he would be on board. I think he'd greenlight it. Frankly.
I think the audiobook already exists.
Oh, from him?
Maybe that's what we do. Maybe that's what we do is listen to the audiobook. I don't know if that'll be better or worse.
No, I want to sit down, by a fire, curled up under a blanket and read. I want to read it. Chris, but if it's an audiobook from Chris Harrison, you might be able to sell me on that.
We'll think about what to do with that. I just don't like the idea of putting $1,000 in Chris Harrison's pocket,
especially with how he's been acting in these. We're becoming less and less Chris Harrison guys. We still are Chris Harrison guy.
It's eroding a little bit. The reputation's
eroding.
The
way he's acting on these, he's asking terrible questions, gotcha questions. Not a good look.
I didn't think we'd go this long, but I do have one last thing I want to tell you about specifically, AB, because I wrote all this out thinking we'd go do a 20-minute episode. Last week we mentioned how great the real world used to be and how it's sad it's not that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a suitable filler is airing right now on MTV. Double Shot at Love 2 incredible. Have you been watching?
No, Rim. I couldn't even get through Double Shot at Love 1.
So you haven't seen Double Shot at Love 2?
No, I've seen Double Shot at Love 1 like half the episodes, and I couldn't continue.
It's totally different. There's no competition. There's no dates. It's just it's just Jersey Shore with these people. It's not a competition for their love.
What do you mean? It's just four of them, though?
It's Vinny and Pauly.
And they're two people they chose that they are no longer with, right?
They were never with them. At the post-season episode, they were like, you haven't texted me since the show. Like, they were never with the people. Actually, Pauly D didn't choose anybody. He said he was riding solo. He's like, I'm riding solo. He didn't choose anybody. It was incredible.
So who's on the show? Who's on the show?
Vinny and Pauly D. It's in Las Vegas. Both of AB, this show is great. They're in Las Vegas. They have residencies. Obviously, Pauly D is a megastar DJ. Vinny is like a Chippendales dancer. He's like a male stripper, like on his own show.
I'm not
so they have residencies. Then I think like six or
there
eight.
There isn't
of
a
the
Vinny residency. Let me just clear that up.
Yes, there is.
You said it's a Chippendales. He's on Chippendales.
It's not Chippendales. It's not Chippendales.
Vinny exclusive? Like, he's
it's
the
like,
build
it's
guy?
It's like Vinny is the star of the show. People buy tickets to see Vinny. Yes.
That's crazy.
He's got, like, billboards and stuff.
Vinny. I thought you were just saying he was a Chippendale dancer and he was a part of it and then calling it
No.
He's got his own Chippendales
entity.
Brand. And
yeah,
it has a residency.
Go see Vinny. Yes. Yes, Vinny. So they're big dogs. I think maybe six or eight of the people from their show are living with them in this suite. Okay.
From their Double Shot at Love season
their
one.
Their exes. So it's a little awkward for that reason. One of the exes brought, quote, three of her friends. Okay.
Why?
Three of her friends. Because, man, this is the new era of Jersey Shore. And I say that because the three friends are dudes from Long Island and New Jersey. This is basically Jersey Shore, the next generation. That's what this is. It is not a dating show. It is New Jersey Shore with Vinny and Pauly D as like old chaperones helping
to
them along the way.
To show the kids how to act.
Yes. All of them are going to have jobs like the old school real world seasons where they're working at the hotel. There's not another situation here. Okay. I don't want you to think that, but they're good enough. There is a guy with a nickname that rivals that of the situation.
What is it?
Which I might add, as you and I both know, is the funniest thing.
We coined it the best nickname of all time.
Not even close. Not even close. This short, chubby kid named Antonio. His nickname is, he said, they call me Pool Party Poppy. The guy just loves pool parties so much. He goes, they call me Pool Party Poppy. He is just like, can you imagine the guy walking by like, oh man, that's Pool Party Poppy. The guy loves pool parties. He rules pool parties.
His nickname is
Pool Party Poppy. You know, I got to get it going at the pool party. Pool party, so ridiculous. He thrives in pool party settings. Pool party puppy.
That's where anyway. He is at his best, is at a pool party.
He's just every day wakes up and he's like, I hope we go to the pool today. Anyway, the guys, most of the girls in their early 20s, and Vinny and Pauly D are, you know, older than we are. So it's just, they're chaperones for these kids just wiling out in Vegas. There's two other guys not named Pool Party Poppy that are also, you know, fit right in. I don't know if it's a great show. It's just, I think it's Jersey Shore, the next generation. It's not a dating show.
I'm sold.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
It's just Jersey Shore. It's better than Jersey Shore Family Vacation.
I'll check it out.
Anyway, anything else you want to talk about, AB?
I had a headline.
Headline of the week.
This is from Cosmo, my go-to headline of the week. Headline is, wait, excuse me? Are Colton Underwood and Madison Pruitt dating? Question mark, exclamation point.
That's four.
Cosmo.com.
Things at the end.
A lot of people.
Did you read it?
Yeah, a lot of people. It's bullshit. It's a clickbait, but it might also not be. People online are taking notice of each other.
Are they shipping them?
They are shipping them, but also they're taking notice of, they seem to be commenting a lot on each other's Instagram posts. There's something, when there's smoke, there's fire, Rim, in terms of Instagram comments. Everyone knows that. So I think there's something there.
So they're dating. That's what the kids would describe as they're dating.
People think they're dating. But it's not been confirmed by anyone reliable yet. This is, people think that based exclusively on Instagram comments. There's nothing else to go off of.
Here's the problem with a lot of, you want me to get on my soapbox here. What happens these days is a couple people say something on the internet, and then a publication looking for
runs with
clicks
it.
Makes a whole article of just embedded
that's what
tweets
it is. Yeah.
About people talking about something that isn't a fact.
That's what Cosmo
did
here.
Whole,
yeah.
The whole cottage industry, folks. That being said, we promote that cottage industry every week on this show with AB's Bachelor Headline of the Week. That's spicy.
Yeah. I'm excited.
I ship them. It's a good match.
I agree.
Anyway, that's all we got. Friendly reminder, the best way to help out the growth of this show is to tell a friend. It's not Refer a Friend Month.
No. It's
we would never
here's what
that.
Month it is, Rim. No, we wouldn't. We would never just throw a Refer a Friend month out there. There's a specific month,
please,
and that'll be coming up during
the next season.
Next big season, of course. Yeah, this is Rim is watching all these seasons for us, folks.
This is not me talking. This is not my pitch.
This is AB talking to you, friend to friend. Not you, Rim.
Listener.
This is the listener, friends, the listeners.
I'm out on this combo. I get it.
Rim is doing all this work for us, watching hours and hours, 20 hours a week, I'd say, he's watching
they
for us.
They didn't ask for it. They didn't ask for it.
But they're...
Sucks.
They're gaining the benefits from it. If you didn't watch these shows, these episodes would suck. The fact that you have
I think they suck anyway. I would argue that these episodes stink anyway. And I'm looking forward. I hope they cut the GOAT episodes short so we don't have to keep doing these. But go ahead, continue.
All Rim's asking is for subscriptions. Maybe tell a couple friends, family members, follow on Instagram. It's three simple things. Write a review. Four simple things. Okay? It's not that.
Yeah.
It would take you 1/10 of just one of the episodes Rim's watching for us to do all those four things, Rim. That's all.
Truth be told, I think I might not watch the seasons anymore. It's not the benefit is not there. think about the whole season I watched. I'm thinking I'm going to get all this context. There's barely any. What revelations did I have this episode?
This episode, not as much. Last episode had to be done.
Invaluable. Invaluable for Caitlin's seat.
Listen,
had to be done.
Rim's already out here saying he's not going to watch the episodes. Throw the guy.
Can you imagine?
Throw him a bone here. Give him a couple of Come on, folks.
All right. Talk to you later.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.